Today's daf in Masechet Zvachim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is Daf Chof Aleph, and we got right up to the next Iboy Elohu. And of course, it's wonderful to give the Daf Yomi to so many beautiful names. Each one of them probably had a bris milah with that name, and it's great. Looking at Kedushas Yisrael, it's just amazing. The names are glinting out at me the same way the eyes behind the names, which may or may not be open, which may or may not be there, the same way they're filled with the light of Bnei Yisrael, which gives me the energy to give the daf. And, well, look at this. We actually do have some eyes of Bnei Yisrael. Ah, I feel the energy coming through my hair. How do you like that? Okay. We've even got a Sir Richard, and that coffee is energizing enough for anybody. So, now we can get moving. Okay, so we got up to the end of the series of questions that we had had. We weren't able to get satisfactory answers about whether there's a din of Yotzei and whether there's a din of Tuma and this new concept of Lina. And now we have another interesting question. Can you stick your hands into the kiyar? Stick your hands and feet into the kiyar in order to be Mekadesh Yada Varaglav. It does say in the Torah, Mimenu, which sounds like it has to come out of the kiyar. That's the lashon of the pasuk is Bedavke Rachatzu Aron Ubanav Mimenu Et Yedeihem Ve'et Raglayhem, which seems to sound like the water's pouring out of the kiyar. But is that dafka? Or like if you stuck it into the kiyar, it would also be good. Mimenu amrachmana velo betocho, or maybe lav dafka, and it would be afilo betocho. Omer of Nachum bar Yitzchak, well, take a look at the braita. We had before that if the kohen had put his hands into a meimara, which is basically a mikveh, and he did the avodah, Avodato Pesula. Now, the Mekior is basically a Dumya de Meimara. If you had it the same way, and it's not a kosher mikveh, because it's in a kli. But it says over here that if you would have put your hands into the kior, the way that you had put your hands into a mikveh, I mean, because it's comparing putting your hands into a mikveh. I mean, that makes no sense at all. If you put your hands into the mikveh, it's saying, then avodas upsula. But, I mean, if you'd put your hands into the kior, avodas upsula, so what's the point of saying, if you put your hands into the mikveh, avodas upsula? So, that's mashma, that if you put your hands into the kior, in the same way that if you had gone into the mikveh, you put your hands into, and you did the avodah would be kosher, because otherwise the comparison is ridiculous. No, it doesn't mean that. There's a chiddush over here. The meimara is a kosher mikveh, which the kiyar is not. Kiyar is mayim shuvim. So what the Mishnah is telling you is you might have thought that if you actually use a mikveh, I mean, man, you can't do better than that. So if your whole body could have been put into the mikveh and would have been kosher, you would have been tohar. So if you're putting your yada varaglav, isn't that kosher, at least for Aveda? Kamash malon, no, it's not. And actually, there's a specific din of the concept of the kiyar. So you can't make that raya from over here. So we still don't know. Now, we are about to introduce a rather complex sugya, so let's just think about it before we begin for a moment. We were talking about the possibility that the water in the kiyar itself, even according to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, who holds that lina eina moelet for kiddush adayim v'raglayim, perhaps even he would admit that the actual water in the kiyar is just like anything else that was kodesh in a kli shares, has kedusha zaguf, and it becomes posel, basically the same idea of notar. Anything that's outside of its time is posel. So over here in the morning, the mehakior is outside of its time. But isn't that something of an oversimplification? Because outside of what time? What is the kiyar water for? Well, sometimes a kohen will use the water in the kiyar to be able to do avoda that is only kosher in the daytime, right? So let's say the kohen wants to go and bezurek the dam on the mizbeach. Now that dam is going to be pusul itself, belina, after sunset. So that means that the water in the kiyar, vis-a-vis the matirin, so the matirin could be the dam, or the matirin could be the kaimetz of a mincha. We know already all about matirin from the beginning of the sugya where we discussed pigel. So the kohen, if he's going to be working for matirin, this is a Gavi magic pen requirement, and all I get is a G. G whiz. So what is the din over there? That the water was going to be used only as long as it was kosher to do the avoda of the matirin. But that's only in the daytime. The moment that it's night, then these matirin are all going to be puzzled, so you can't do the avoda. Now the question is, does the water in the kiyar relate to the purpose for which it is set aside? So that water is set aside for multiple purposes. Once the water is going to be used by a kohen for the matirin, well, that water actually runs out of time the moment that the matirin themselves become pasul. Masha'in kain, if the kohen is going to be using that water in order to do the aveda of putting the parts of the mizbeach onto the mizbeach, so now he's putting meat on the mizbeach, what happens over there? He is able to use that meat until the morning. So water in the kiyar for purposes of the evarim are kosher to do the kiddush yadayim v'raglayim all the way until the morning, which is when the evarim need to have been put onto the mizbeach, right? So therefore, says Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef, the water in the kiyar are pasul to be used for making yourself kosher for matirin. They become pasul as soon as the matirin become pasul. So they are nifsalim lematirin ki matirin. So let's say the dam or the komets of the mincha, they are no longer going to be kosher. So then that means a kohen who put his hands through kiddush yadayim v'raglayim, and he was doing aveda with the dam or with another matir, he is going to have to do a new kiddush yadayim v'raglayim at shkia. Because otherwise that water is pasul for the aveda of the laila. Now, what they used to do, as we learned, and that was the story of the machine, the Mulchani Likiyar, is they used to lower the Kiyar in order for it not to be Nifsal. They would lower it. It would then be connected to the Ma'ayan that was in the bar, and then it would not become Pasul Belina. And then in the morning, they had the Ben Katin's machine, so all they needed to do was push a button, and up comes the Kiyar, which is wonderful, because then the Mayim and the Kiyar is now kosher and wasn't Nifsabalina. But the question over here is, the water that was in the kiyar, according to Reb Chiya bar Yosef, if binogea the matirin, it's going to be nifsal for matirin, so then the kohen is going to have to do a kiddush yadayim v'raglayim with water in the kiyar, which had never been in a position of becoming nifsal at the Shkia Sachama. So then that means that the water in the kiyar, according to Reb Chiya bar Yosef, would have had to have been lowered into the ground before Shkia Sachama, because if it wasn't, it would not have been able to be used the next day for the matirin, because it would have become possible for matirin. So the question over here is, I understand that we can protect the water of the kiyar by lowering it into the Ma'ayan. But This is another Gavi rule, and I don't see a Gavi. Shh. Take out that magic wand, please, and write down the following rule. And this is the question of whether you can actually do for Hegdash what you do for a regular mikveh. A regular mikveh, the moment that you connect that mikveh to another mikveh, so then it now becomes kosher, because you made it all into one mikveh, and it's butel to the earth as a whole. So that's called hashaka. But when it comes to Hegdash, ein hashaka lehegdash. So therefore, the mehakiyor, if the mehakiyor were psulim, you would be unable to make the mehakiyor kosher again by putting it back into the mayan. So you've got a limitation over here. The only usefulness of Ben Cutting's machinery was to make sure that it didn't become possible. Once it became possible, it wouldn't have helped you to put it down. So now we've got a big problem. If the mayim in the kiyor are possible for matirin, then the next morning, if a kohen comes and he wants to be mekadesh yada veragla from the mei kiyor that had been put underground before sunrise, but were not put underground before sunset. So then even though the water in the kiyor, that water would be kosher the next evening for doing the evarim on the mizbeach, and for that matter, even any time in the day for doing the evarim, they would not be kosher for that kohen to be able to do the aveda of the dam, or to do the aveda on a carbon mincha of the komets, you see? So therefore, it means very important, because according to Reb Chiya Bar Yosef, you're going to have to lower the kiyar before shkia in the evening. Now, if you took it out afterwards, during the nighttime, what would happen to it? It would still be now kosher for Evarim. That's true. But then you would have passed it during the night, and it was at that point Pasul Belina. So that's Reb Chiya Bar Yosef's Shita. Reb Chisda argues, and Reb Chisda says, no, the Mayim in the Kiyar is kosher for 24 hours, basically, from one morning to the next morning, and even for the Matirin, meaning even for a Kohen who's going to be doing Avedas Hadam, or Avedas HaMatir of the Kemetz on the Mincha, Einiv Salim Ela Ba'amud HaShachar Ke'evarim. According to which, that would mean that if the Kiyor was underground with the machine, and it was only done right before Amud HaShachar, it would be kosher. Because as long as it wasn't exposed outside to the Amud HaShachar, and it's now connected to the ground, it would be perfectly okay. So you could put it down right before the Amud HaShachar, bring it back up after the Amud HaShachar, and according to Reb Chisda, you could then go ahead and be Mekadesh Yada Veraglav in the Kiyor. So this is the Machlokas. It sounds very technical. According to Reb Chiya Bar Yosef, the Mekiyor are Nifsalon Lematirin, Kematirin, and Le'evarim, Ke'evarim. And according to Reb Chisda, they are perfectly kosher, even for use for matirin, unless they were out of the ground at Amud HaShachar. So, af lematirin en nifsolim ela b'amud HaShachar ke'evarim. Okay? If you get the basic concept right, the rest of the Gemara is going to be easy. If these words are still confusing you, you might as well join Richie and just have a drink of Talisker. So, what way is it going to be?
Do it twice a day. Right before Shkia and right before Avodah Shachar, that would be okay.
No, it would not be okay. Because according to, as I said, according to Reb Chiya Bar Yosef, the moment the water is exposed at night, it's now in a state in which it's Nifsal. Because it's the nighttime, it's not the moment of the Shkia that passes it.
As opposed to the moment of Avodah Shachar, it's a different structure.
Yes. Of course. How could a day passel? That's the time of the avodah. The day can't passel, but the night can passel. Okay? Okay. Reb Yochanan, so these are the two basic shitas. Now, Reb Yochanan, however, he said, now it's not clear what he means, but we think we know what he means. He says, well, once you put that kiyar into the ground, you don't take it up again. Okay, which, I mean, in what way is he saying different than the others? So what he's saying is that the kiyar you'd have to keep under ground the entire night in order for it to be used for anything, which would mean that the kiyar water becomes pasul even for avarim. So, I mean, he's now a third shita, which is more machmer than anybody, because he's even going beyond the chiddush of Reb Chiya bar Yosef. So remember, according to Reb Chista, even if the kiyar was left out a whole night and just put underground right before Alot HaShachar, and then you keep it down for 10 minutes, and then you bring it up again, you can now use it for anything, matirin or evorin. According to Reb Chista, that's Reb Chiya, Reb Chista. According to Reb Chiya bar Yosef, it would have to be underground from the Shkia and until after Alot HaShachar. But otherwise, if it wasn't, then you wouldn't be able to use it for matirin. But, I mean, you could still use it to be Mekadesh Yadav for Evarim. Doesn't become pasul for Evarim. And according to Rabbi Yochanan, it even becomes pasul for Evarim at the time that the matirin are pasul. So we've got three different shitas. Le'evarim, ke'evarim, ke'matirin, ke'matirin. Or af le'evarim, af le'matirim ke'evarim, or af le'evarim ke'matirim, which seems to be essentially what it is that Rabbi Yochanan is saying. That's what we think it means. All right, so assuming that that's what he means, we've got problems with understanding Rabbi Yochanan in that way. Because you're telling me, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that even for doing Aveda in the nighttime, you would not be able to be Mekadesh Yadav Viraglav if the kiyar was out of the ground at any point during the night. Because you're saying he is essentially the most chamur, and he is going beyond even Reb Chiya bar Yosef. And Reb Chiya bar Yosef says, if it's exposed during the night, you can't use it for the imatirim, but you could use it for the ve'evorim. And Rabbi Yochanan says, you can't even use it for the ve'evorim. So if that's true, you've got a big problem, because Rabbi Yochanan Gufa is the one who quotes Ilfa as saying this. Omer Avasi, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Mishmede Ilfa. If the kiyar was not put underground in the evening time, you could still be Mekadesh Ravodas Laila. But didn't Rabbi Yochanan just say a minute ago that you've got to keep it underground the whole time? You can't take it out for a minute, which is mashma, that you wouldn't be able to use it for Avodas Laila? It says over here, there's no problem. Mekadesh mimenu l'Avodas Laila, he can use it for the nighttime Avoda, ulamachar eno Mekadesh, but not for tomorrow. Okay, so then he's saying that it would be all right for the Avodas Ha'evorim at the night. Make up your mind. Ah, you know what? We must have misunderstood Rabbi Yochanan. When Rabbi Yochanan says you cannot take it up, he meant if you take it up, it's going to be pasul for Avodas Yom. He didn't mean it's going to be pasul for Avodas Laila. For Avodas Laila, it would still be kosher. What? But then he's saying exactly the same thing that Reb Chiya bar Yosef said. He's coming along and claiming, I disagree with both Reb Chista and Reb Chiya bar Yosef. I say once you throw it under the ground, you can't take it out, which we took to mean if you take it up, then that's it. It's possible for anything, matirin or evarim. And now he's saying, no, it doesn't really matter. For evarim, it's okay, which is what Reb Chiya bar Yosef said. So in what way does he differ from Reb Chiya bar Yosef? Ah, we're not talking about the difference in whether it's kosher or not. The point is, we said that Rabbi Yochanan says, don't pick up the kiyar, which will pasul it for the Avedas HaMatirin. We don't mean that it's going to be pasul for the Evorim all night long. Rabbi Yochanan agrees with Reb Chista that it doesn't become pasul until the morning. But the thing is that he holds that we have to put the kiyar underground. That's the question. Not because it'll become puzzle. He agrees actually with Reb Chisda that it doesn't become puzzle for anything. Meaning, it's not going to become puzzle for the Matirin either. Even the Matirin are going to be kosher as long as the Kiyor wasn't Nifsal with the Amud HaShachar. So why does he say that once we put that Kiyor under, we don't take it out of under the ground? What's the point? Rabbi Yochanan holds that the Rabbanan made a Gezeira. And the Gezeira is that since something that becomes Nifsal Belina, there's a mitzvah of Shmira on it, which we learn not from the din of Truma even. You're supposed to, it's Mishmeret, there's a din that you have to keep things from becoming puzzle. And therefore, you are supposed to be taking care of the Mea Kiyor that they shouldn't be Nifsal. The Rabbanan made a takana to put the Kiyor under the ground for the whole night. Why? Because if you don't, you may forget, and by the time you realize, uh-oh, I took that Kiyor out, and I forgot to put it back down again before Alos HaShachar, you're going to end up causing a psul in the mayim. That's the issue. And it has nothing to do with the idea of its being pasul. And you can see that even in the Lashon. Because, look, Reb Chiya Bar Yosef said beferish, that it's nifsal lematirin kematirin. So that means it's actually pasul. Reb Yochanan didn't say a word about anything being puzzled, did he? Not a word. All he said was, once you put the Kiyor down, you don't take it out. Now, that is like, whoa, why are we moving on to a different topic? Because it is a different topic. Reb Yochanan was not talking about the Machlokas of Reb Chisda, Reb Chiya Bar Yosef. Reb Yochanan was saying a different halacha, that the Rabbanan were mitakein not to leave the Kiyor above ground. Even if a coin walks in and the Kiyor has already been put underground, he says, oh my God, I wanted to do the Avoda all night tonight. I was going to be Malay Vorim onto the Mizbeach, which is kosher all night long. Take that Kiyor back up. I need to do my Nikidish Adayim Raglayim. Rabbi Yochanan says, no. Rabbanan says, once we press the button, you don't press the button again until after Amud HaShachar. Why not? Why not? We're afraid you'll do Kiddush Adayim Raglayim. You'll forget to put it back down. That's the question. So it's irrelevant in terms of the machlokas of Reb Chisda and Reb Chiya Bar Yosef. You see? But that can't be true. You're saying, Ikabinayo Gezerat Shikua. It's only that we have this Gezerah. We don't want you taking it out. Reb Yochanan himself says that you do take it out. Look at this. Amar Reb Yochanan, a Kohen, who was Mekadesh Yoda for the Trumas Hadeshin. So remember, the Trumas Hadeshin took place at what stage in the day? Krot HaGever. Krot HaGever was before the Amud HaShachar. And it says, he's Mekadesh Yoda, which means it was the middle of the night, so obviously they had to take the Kiyor out for him to be Mekadesh Yoda Baraglav. Lemachar ain't Tzarech Lekadesh. He does not have to do a new Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim after Amud HaShachar. Because he already did the Kiddush Yadayim from the beginning of the Avedas Hayon. But that would mean that you apparently take it out and there's no need to put it back in. And Reb Yochanan said a moment ago, once you put it down, you can't take it out all night long. I don't understand what the heck's going on here. I mean, I do. Actually, I could come up with an easy answer according to Rava. Because remember, Rava was the one who said that what Reb Yochanan said about the Kohen who is Mekadesh Yodav for the Trumas Hadeshen, he said that that was going Aliba, the Rebbe Elazar Ber Rebbe Shimon, and that Rebbe Elazar Ber Rebbe Shimon says that he holds that Elina is not Mo'elet. So there, it's true that once he did for the Tchilas HaAvoda, that was Rabbi Yochanan's personal take, remember, that Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, makes sense in terms of the beginning of the Avoda, but not the end of the Avoda. Okay, so then if that's the case, this was Rabbi Yochanan's shita that he said before, Aliba to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, something is not Nifsal from the beginning of the Avoda, but you can't keep doing it for 10 days if it's the end of the Avoda. All right, fine, so this is perfectly consistent. Mashenken, Rabbi Yochanan, who said that you cannot take that kior out anytime during the night, that's going aliba to Rabbi. Rabbi holds that actually Lina is moelet. So if it's moelet, even on the Yiddish Yadayim, it's obviously going to be moelet for the water in the kior, which is extant. There for sure. Okay, so that's not a problem. But what about according to Abaye? Abaye said that when Rabbi Yochanan said before that it's kosher for doing the Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim, so Abaye said before that even though Rebbe generally says that the halacha is that it becomes pasul with Amud HaShachar, but Rebbe held that between Kroos HaGever and Amud HaShachar, since Lina Mo'elet B'Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim is only a Derabbanan, the Rabbanan were not gozer during for that period because that's the beginning of the day to this coin. That's the beginning of the day, and we're not worried about it. Okay, so according to him, that's all very nice that he's saying it's not a problem of Lina Mo'elet, but it's still a problem for the water in the Kior. The water in the Kior is Nifsal. So then, how is Kasha over here of the way that he's going a libra shita of Rebbe here in this machlokas with Rebbe Chista and Rebbe Bar Yosef? His shita is no, you got to leave that kior down the whole night, and you have to be mishakele according to Rebbe. And over here he's saying according to Rebbe, no, the kohen picks up the kior, doesn't say anything about his needing to press the button and putting back down again. So how come over here, Mashna Hacha, the Lomishakele? So in the Machlokas, the three-way Machlokas with Reb Chiya and Reb Yosef, Reb Chiya and Reb Chista and Reb Yochanan, he says it's got to stay under the ground the whole night. And here he says that you can pick it up for doing the Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim before the Trumas Hadashen. No, well, I mean, he didn't say you don't have to put it back down. I mean, it could be that Rabbi Yochanan holds you pick it up just to do that, and this is like a special aveda and so on, so he'll remember to put it back down. So the misalikle v'hadar mishakele. Obviously, I mean, he didn't say it, but obviously we understand that there's a din of the mayim in the kiyar, but here he wasn't talking about the mayim in the kiyar. He was only coming to tell me the din that there's no lina, even according to Rebbe, if you do the Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim from the beginning of the Avodas Hayom, which is the Trumas Hadashen. So he wasn't talking about the kiyar, but obviously anybody who understands Rabbi Yochanan's point of view on Liba de Rebbe takes for granted that, of course, I'm telling you that it's kosher because even Rebbe's made a lina is not Moelas the Lina Minerabanan. But, I mean, the water in the Kiyar, of course, he's going to have to put it back down, so he puts it down using the machine. So the Misalikli Vahada Mishakeli, of course. So hold on. But so then why did Rabbi Yochanan say L'mocher Eino Mekadesh? So he says, you're not Mekadesh, which seems to mean that you're not allowed to be Mekadesh. But if it was put back down, why are you not allowed to be Mekadesh? What's the problem? It was underground and it didn't become Nifsal. So it would still be good? I don't understand. It still doesn't make sense. No, the Mocher in Mekadesh means tomorrow the Kohen doesn't need to be Mekadesh. That's what he was saying. You thought it meant he couldn't be Mekadesh? No. He's saying that if you were Mekadesh, then the tomorrow ain't no Mekadesh means that he doesn't need to be Mekadesh again. That's all it means. Wait. So now I'm very confused. Because now Rabbi Yochanan ends up saying exactly what Rabbi Chista said. You're saying that according to Rabbi Yochanan, the only reason that we don't pick up that kiyor all night long is because we're afraid that you'll forget to put it back down. As you said, gezerat shikua, right? And then, what if you wouldn't have forgotten to put it down? You would have put it down right before the morning. So then it would have remained kosher. But that's the shita of Rav Chista. Rav Chista says that for the matirin, it's the same thing as it is for the evarim, and it only becomes pasul in the morning. So, and the Rabbi Yochanan is now saying the same thing. If I picked it up and it's the middle of the night, as long as I got it back down, the next day it's going to be kosher. Which is precisely Reb Chista Shita. But we had a three-way machlokas in which Reb Yochanan was saying, no, I disagree. Once the kiyor was underground, you can't take it. I mean, like, now it turns out he's not saying anything at all. No, he is saying there's still a difference. Because according to Reb Yochanan, you're supposed to keep the kiyor underground from the beginning of the evening. Why? Because we're afraid that you'll be forgetting to put it under. If it's been open all night, you'll forget that you've got 3 seconds left until Amud HaShachar, which often happens to us, as we know, when we get up, we forget, oh my God, it's already Amud HaShachar, we're forgetting, if it's a tinus, you're allowed to eat, you're not allowed to eat, you get confused. So because of that, we made a takona at the end of the day, by Shkia, put it down underground. That's all. Reb Chista doesn't hold that that's a problem. He holds, leave it out the whole night. Just make sure that you put it in a minute before Amud HaShachar. So that still is a big machlokas between Reb Chista and Reb Yochanan. But as we pointed out before, Reb Yochanan never talked about something being pasul. He changed the narrative. The others were talking about whether it's nifsal for the matirin, it's nifsal for the evarim. He starts talking about what you do with the kiyor. So obviously he's talking about something else. What is that something else? The mitzvah shikua. Reb Yochanan says, get that kiyor underground as soon as the sun sets. And Reb Chista says, don't get so frum on me. You'll put the kiyor underground right before Amud HaShachar and it's fine. Just set your Apple Watch and it won't be a problem. Okay, so now let's take a look and see whether it's actually possible that Reb Chista is right in light of the Mishnah Masechet Tamid. Here, the Mishnah there is describing the Seder Hayom, and the first thing that happened in the day is that the Kohen who was doing the Trumas Hadeshen, everybody else is fast asleep. This Kohen is coming in very early in order to do the Trumas Hadeshen. So it says he didn't come in with any lights, he didn't come in carrying a torch, he would walk along to the Mizbeach by the light of the Mizbeach itself, by the Eshel was on the Mizbeach. So nobody could really see him. Lo hayu ro'im oto, v'lo shom'im et kolo. They didn't hear anything until they heard the sound of the machine. Ad sh'shom'im kol shel etz, sh'asa ben katin muchani l'kiyor. And then all the Kohanim would say, uh-oh, yigia et kiddush yadayim ragleim en kiyor. Time to get up, boys, time to get up. Because they knew that they are going to need to now do the next stage. What was the next stage? Depend how much ash there was. The next stage either was to run up to the Mizbeach and rake everything up to the Tapuach, which was in the middle of the Mizbeach, and leave the surface of the Mizbeach clean for the new day's Aveda. Or if there was so much that that wasn't really doable, then they would take all of the ashes on the Mizbeach out. But that would not be the same as the Trumas Hadeshen. The Trumas Hadeshen was an Aveda, that it was just that Machata, then it was put down right next to the Kevesh as the Kohen got off of the Mizbeach, and it was absorbed on into the ground, Derech Nes. That was not what was done with the other ashes. The other ashes could have been 3-4 truckloads of ashes. They were taken out to the Shefach Hadeshen. That's different. There's indications that place was actually found, I think, Barnea, if I'm not mistaken, Rechov HaChomash Lishit, which is where I used to live, which is a great place to live, if you don't mind getting dusty from time to time. So the Shefach HaDashef, okay, so look what it says over there. Now, why did they hear the sound of the machine? L'chora, you only hear the sound of the machine when you are turning it on to take the kiyor up. Creak, 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 creak. Okay, so the kiyor has to come all the way up. But for the kiyor to come down, you just need to release it, and it just goes down without making any noises. Because, I mean, there's always good old gravity comes to the rescue. And so it must be that my love, the misalikle, he's got to be talking about the putting that kiyor, taking it out of the ground. But according to Reb Chista, they never put it underground. According to Rav Chisda, they put it underground only after this was done, because it was still before the Amud HaShachar. So how does Rav Chisda going to understand this Mishnah? Apparently, Mishakele, apparently, they did put it underground before. No. They heard the machine lowering it. Lowering it? Why did they need a machine to lower it? What happened to gravity? Either Mishakele. My Mishtamakale. So how are they hearing it? The noise. There shouldn't be any noise on lowering it. No, they bedavka lowered it using the machinery. They didn't let it drop because they wanted to make noise. Why'd they want to make noise? Because they want to wake up the Kohanim. And remember that the sound of that machine, the Mishnah says you would actually be able to hear that machine from very far away. You could even hear it in Yericho, which is very far away. And they, oh my gosh, that's the sound of the Kiyar. The Kohanim must be getting up, right? Okay. So because of that, they bedavka did it on purpose. Mishakale begilgala, or the other Gelashon is, Mishakale bechumrate. Chumrate means its materials, meaning, you know, whatever. It's a more general term than using the actual machine, because it wasn't using all of the pulleys in the machine, but it was going down click, click, click with the wheel. So it's a slightly different lusher, but it was making noise. Ki hecha delishtama kale, velishme velese. Kohanim would hear it from far away, and they would say, oh, it's time to come to the Beis HaMikdash and do some work. But what about Gvini? Gvini also was able to be heard from far away. He was amazing. It was, they remember the, we had when we learned all of those sugyas, remember that the person who was the most, either the first or the most yodua of the great performers, we called that job on his name. So even Mr. Gvini obviously didn't live for the 400 and some years of the Beis HaMikdash, but he was the one that was able to be so loud that you could hear him from 40 parzos away. Oh my gosh. About 40 mil away, so that was, whew, okay. They called everybody Gvini because that was like the ultimate. So it's like calling, you know, an operatic singer by the name of the one who does that role best, you know? Okay. So Avi Gvini Cruz. And why did we need this? Because, what do you mean, why? You never heard of snooze buttons? That's all we need is to rely on one of these simonim. So now the Kohen just presses snooze and he's going to not wake up. Because of that, we need it for the alarm to go off again. So we had two alarms. So from here is a remez to the snooze buttons. So those who actually woke up with Gvini, Betreya Keri Ave Avde, the Shama Mihayasi, the Shama Mihayasi. So some would come because they hear the first alarm and some would come from the second alarm.